Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm your host, Quinn Tu, and this is Doing Good is Good for Business podcast. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. Our topic today is re-commerce, and our leading lady is Alden Miles with Yertl Re-commerce. And a little bit about Yertl. It was founded in 2012 as a California benefit corporation, and Yertl has been called a sharing economy powerhouse by press for its innovative approach to re-commerce. And if you're like me, you're probably wondering, what the heck is re-commerce? So Alden and I will be having a conversation about that today. Alden, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so the question that's the most topmost on our minds. What does re-commerce mean?
What does re-commerce mean? It's a great question. So the re-commerce market is another term for the secondary market. So this is our opportunity to create a market for the goods that are already produced and finding new uses for them by bringing them back, cleaning them up, and reselling them for a second life.
That sounds like it could be beneficial to so many different things. But before we dive into that, let's find out a little bit more about what you do at Yertl.
Excellent. So my background, I've worked across almost every segment of fashion and retail, starting earlier in my buyer training program at Bloomingdale's, and then working for a bunch of brands such as Cole Haan and David Yurman, retailers like ShopUp, which is part of Amazon, and Sephora. And my early roles were in merchandise planning, and then I evolved into working more in e-commerce and technology. And so now I am heading up the product management organization at Yertl.
And how did you come to work for Yertl? Was it something particular about the company that caught your interest?
Ooh. Yeah, so I spent, again, a number of years working in fashion and retail, primarily in New York. And in my younger days, it was a lot of fun. I was accumulating a very robust closet of shoes and handbags and apparel. And it was glamorous and fun, and in my 20s, that felt very right, kind of exciting. And as I got older, I think, like many of us, I started to look for ways to add more purpose and meaning into my life. And I looked for ways to do that in my career and really struggled to find something that wasn't going to be a whole hog career change. And so it got to a point where I kind of resigned myself to the fact that if I wanted meaning and purpose, that I would do that in my personal life, and my professional life would just be my professional life. Then I met Andy Rubin. Yeah, I met Andy, and he's the CEO and founder of Yertl, and it was this kind of epiphany, amazing moment where I thought, this is it. This is the thing I've been looking for. This is my opportunity to take, all of this expertise that I've been building up over the years and actually make an impact. It was a kind of a stars aligning kind of moment.
Okay. I was just going to ask, how did Andy change your approach? Because fashion is known as fast fashion, cheap fashion, things that are popular today may not be popular next week. So there's a lot of a sense of temporariness in the fashion space. So what was Andy doing that was different?
Yeah, Quinn, you're very right. There was an article earlier this week from Forbes where in 2015, the industry produced over 100 billion garments for the 7 billion
yes.
people that live on this planet. It's just unsustainable. And there is this mix within the industry of, you know, the fast items that come in and come out that are not always very well made. And then there are the enduring products that are have greater quality, that are made with more care. In the beginning, kind of those high artisan products that people really care about. And this kind of overproduction that we're doing is really a chasing after of growth, and that the brands are doing it to grow. And we need to create
right.
a different way for these brands to grow. And Andy envisioned this world where we create the secondary market that allows these brands to grow without having to produce more goods. And then these brands that are already producing great quality products are going to get rewarded naturally by this secondary market because their goods have that lasting style and craftsmanship that goes into them, that kind of really set them up to be the winners of the secondary market.
So you've mentioned the secondary market a couple of times now. Is that something that is comparable to what eBay does in providing its platform for people to sell or use or new goods?
Yes. And the secondary market is not a new thing. We've had it. We've had Goodwill and Salvation Army and eBay and Craigslist as a way to kind of move through and create new life for goods. But it's not
uh-huh.
a very scalable experience. If you're trying to sell on eBay or Craigslist, you're having to put up a lot of work to kind of make these things happen. Where Yertle comes to play is actually really changing the platform in which we can allow these brands to own that secondary market experience rather than having third-party sellers doing that. So that's where kind of the unique business model of Yertle comes into play. We build both the warehouse logistics and the e-commerce experience for brands, and we are entirely
uh-huh.
behind the scenes. We're a white label product, so consumers never see that we are powering these brand sites, but we are powering
wow.
these brand sites so that the relationship between the brand and the customer stays between the brand and the customer, and it
mm-hmm.
creates just so much more scale in terms of the ability to access a lot more people because we're working through the brands to make that customer relation deepen that customer relationship.
So I'm gonna spill the beans and share that in my research, I found that Yertle partners with Patagonia and Eileen Fisher, amongst others. Those are two brands that I am very much a fan of. Can we talk a little bit about them on this show? If we promise to keep it a secret between us and, you know, the thousands of listeners out there.
Yeah, we have the pleasure of working with Eileen Fisher, Patagonia, and REI, and they are great partners for us because they are organizations that really do believe in having a strong stance on ethical leadership within fashion and apparel. So they are natural players to partner with us in this kind of in our first iteration. But we love working with them. They are strong brands that have incredible loyal customers. They have great quality products that are really naturals for the secondary market. And we are really excited to be part of their movement forward.
So are you able to share with us how you are providing that white glove service in the secondary markets for the brand?
Absolutely. So we power three different websites as part of each of these brands. So we power warnwear.patagonia.com. If you come
mm-hmm.
to it, it will feel like you're on a Patagonia website, but that's actually the Yertle e-commerce platform. In addition to powering the e-commerce platform and storefront, we are also running all of the logistics required to bring back goods from customers. You know, they bring them into stores or they mail them in. They move through our warehouse system, which is a custom-built technology warehouse management system that is designed for the secondary market for e-commerce goods. And we will clean, we will pair, and then we take photographs, the images, and get them ready for sale on the e-commerce site.
So where do they go for the secondary sale?
Where do the customers go?
Yeah. Do they go back to the brand's website for that, or do they go to a Yurtle-specific site for that?
Yeah. So they'll go to mournwear.patagonia.com, which, again, will feel like a Patagonia website, but it is actually a Yurtle-powered and Yurtle-managed website. So that is our technology platform. We are nested pretty closely within the REI experience, so REI.com, the REI platform. REI.com/use, you've now been taken to the Yurtle e-commerce platform, and it's almost seamless to the customer.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's interesting. As I mentioned earlier, one of the major hurdles for the fashion industry is how to get, well, I guess it's always a fight between quality and price, right? And Patagonia and REI and Eileen Fisher's are not necessarily selling things at the Target equivalent. It's really a barrier to entry for some consumers who believe in the environmental impact and want to make a difference. How can they do that, and how does Yurtle support them in that effort?
Yeah, so I think there are two pieces of the impact that Yurtle has on our broader community, broader environment, and one is extending the life of goods that are already in use will naturally reduce the environmental impact. We need to make fewer things because we have all these garments in use, and we are keeping things out of landfill by giving them a use that is not someone's trash can. So that, I think that environmental impact is really clear. The second piece that you started to touch on is the sociological impact, which I think is a little bit harder to quantify, but it's something that speaks to me. And it's this idea that we live in a world with some pretty dramatic economic disparity. And with that economic disparity comes a degree of lifestyle disparity. As a society, we are making cheap things that fall apart. We're making cheap food that's not good for your body. It's heartbreaking to kind of personally heartbreaking to see this go on. And what I love about what we're doing is that while we're not making everything, you know, free, we are taking great quality products like a Patagonia jacket and making it affordable for more people. And that starts to bridge that gap a little bit on that lifestyle disparity that is so prevalent today.
Yeah, and I remember reading not too long ago about articles how clothing that was donated or collected from companies, you know, used to be shipped overseas to other countries, and at some point, those countries are not taking that clothing, so our good intentions may not actually be leading to good environmental impact as well, right? It's very difficult, though.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
There's so much energy right now around kind of sustainable fashion and how to impact it, and there are so many avenues. There's, you know, putting better materials into your garments, making garments that are, you know, the first run production that is a more sustainable fabric, easier to recycle or reuse in different ways. And we're just starting on this movement, but I really, you know, I have this vision and this aspiration that the bigger we can make this secondary market, the more we can reach customers, the customer voices will start to change the way fashion builds their products the first time around, that they'll build it of higher quality. They will be more intentional about the kind of things they're putting into it because they'll be thinking about, is this something I'm going to build into for the secondary market? I'm going to build in a way that can be easily recycled and reused, and use that understanding of what's happening in the second market to really impact their first run production both in terms of quality and quantity.
So you've had quite a resume with the different experiences in the fashion industry, and you've been working in it for a while. What are you most proud of so far with what you've been able to do?
I am really excited about what we're doing at Yrtle, and I think what I love about this and how it fits into my background is that I guess I had assumed that when I was out there making an impact, I would be moving against kind of the industry that I had been in. And what we're doing right now is actually moving downstream with the brands, that we're not asking, we're actually setting up a way for them to have this impact in a way that naturally fits in with their business and is easy for them to do. Kind of, again, we talked about changing the way things are produced and sourcing materials differently. That can be really hard, especially for more of the high-end luxury designers to think about using different materials that it really impacts and potentially restricts the way they think about design and creativity. Building a re-commerce market allows them to really deepen their connection with their customers that like to buy new. It helps them build a relationship by bringing back goods that people have, you know, they bought new, they're ready for the next season of stuff. The brands can say, hey, bring that back. You know, we stand behind those products. We'll take them off your hands. Create some kind of space in people's closets for them to buy new stuff. It's building that relationship and virtuous cycle with the customers and the brands. And then, it extends this opportunity of taking those same products and building a whole relationship with a net new customer. And we're seeing that this re-commerce customer is younger, more mobile, and less affluent. So this is kind of a perfect way for brands to expand their reach and relationships with customers. And kind of this ability to work kind of with the businesses to really have an impact really feels great. That's something I'm really excited about.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right on the idea that existing customers really like, you know, something that maybe a brand has moved on from. And what comes to mind is just the vintage Coach bags. You know, sometimes the current trend is a little bit too much of a going out on a limb for some of us who are more into the conservative aspects of our image. And I can definitely see that creating the consistent and ongoing relationships with the customer. So I want to shift a little bit of our focus and talk about Yrtle as a benefit corporation. Since it incorporated as a benefit corporation in 2012, you guys are fairly trailblazers in this area because California only had benefit corporation statute adopted in 2012.
Yes, and I think this is kind of one of these things that Andy really, he's got a long background in sustainability and really wanting to make sure that whatever he built was kind of working in partnership and in accordance, or in harmony probably is a better word for it, in harmony with kind of the environment and the nearby community.
So Alden, you've had a fair amount of experience working with traditional companies. You've named some big recognizable brands at the beginning of your career, and you've now been at Yrtle for a bit. Well, how does the benefit corporation compare to a traditional corporation? Do you see a difference?
I don't see a difference in our pursuit of really trying to have an impact and what is really in terms of like growing a business. But what is so nice about the way this business model in particular, Yrtle, as a benefit, I mean, it's a benefit corporation, yes, but our business model in and of itself, just by growing our business, we're growing the positive impact we're having. So that kind of creates this camaraderie and kind of really, really tangible kind of emotional excitement that you can feel when you're around people at Yrtle. It kind of pervades the culture in a way that's really rich. and really rewarding to be around. It definitely feels like we're all in this together, if that makes sense. And I think that's
you're working towards a bigger mission, right?
Yes. So it tends to take all the noise out of it. Yeah. So I think that it's a lovely kind of manifestation as being part of a benefit corp is that we can really have strong business intentions and kind of go for growth, that we're not soft on our desire to be a big impactful business. But the heart that comes with it really does kind of bring everybody together.
On a day-to-day level, does being a benefit corporation mean you're doing different things besides what traditional businesses do?
I think so. I think it's because, again, it might be different for a business. B Corp that had a different business model. But there is, it's just so clear that, if we're doing what's good for our business, we are doing good business.
So where is Yertle heading? What is the future looking like?
Yeah, so I've touched a little bit on some of our kind of aspirational kind of hopes for how Recommerce and how Yertle can power this Recommerce movement to impact both how the industry thinks about sustainability and our potential for impacting really people on an individual lifestyle level. I'm also really excited from a nerdy kind of product management perspective. The secondary market is still relatively new, and diving into how customers are behaving differently in the secondary market than they do in a first-run market, and really making sure that we're building out the technology and experiences to meet those needs. Is kind of my more tactical excitement that I'm excited about, and how that changes kind of with things like vintage and pricing, and when does this restricted supply impact being higher for a vintage item than they were on an original new item?
Right.
So I think that's kind of there's exciting kind of things to tease out about how this customer is emerging. And then we're really excited about how we're going to support brands in leveraging information about what they learn about this new customer and the resale movement, and how that influences how they manage their brands overall, and kind of how those two things fit together, not as two separate channels, but as kind of one big experience. And whether that's production or the interaction of sales, or the whole process of trade-in and resale, there's just a lot of richness there that we're really excited to continue to move forward.
So what is one characteristic that is surprising from the secondary market than the original consumer?
Yeah, so one of the nuances that's pretty tactical but hard for folks to get their heads around sometimes is the idea that when you have a reused garment, even if it's the same style color, one might have a stain on the right cuff and the other might have a small hole that you can barely see. So each one of those items is actually treated. Each one of those items we treat as unique items. But in order to sell it to a consumer, we don't want to. We want to be able to kind of group those items together on the e-commerce storefront. So it's easy to say, do I want this small or that small? So this whole concept of showcasing condition and condition notes and really helping customers understand what's a like new item versus a gently worn item, and how does that manifest, and what are the different ways that we can get people comfortable with this, this lightly worn item has a little bit more going on with it, and how do we start to express that? So I think that's kind of one of the first challenges that we've had to handle, and why a custom technology platform allows us to do that in a way that a traditional e-commerce or warehouse management system would not. So I think that's probably one of our key differentiators right now.
That is pretty neat. I mean, as you were talking about it, I was thinking about, even within my own closet, I have clothes that are a little bit more loved than others that, I've worn a little bit more often. So it does have other characteristics that you know, some of the other clothing might more towards brand new because I just haven't touched them at all. And that's exactly mm-hmm. what the secondary market sounds like to me, too.
Yeah. And some of those more loved items are the best ones. You know, your really well-loved jeans might be exactly what somebody's looking for.
Right? Yeah. I mean, somebody's already done the hard work of breaking it in for you. Why not? Do you think that there will ever be a tertiary market?
Well, and I think this is getting into a little bit more of the future of re-commerce and how mm-hmm. do we start to understand if products are coming through the Yertle platform again and again. And we hope that they will. We hope, you know, some of these garments that are, you know, handed down, you know, parent to parent. I mean, I'm a parent. I certainly have been in the, you know, the third, fourth, or fifth round ownership on certain things that get handed down that really have that kind of lasting quality. And, you know, we call it the secondary, I've been calling it the secondary market, but you're right that it's, you know, the re-commerce term is probably more appropriate because we are looking for not just the second run, but the third and fourth. For as long as that item is still usable, we want to be able to power it.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, especially in baby clothing where they might only be wearing it for a month before they outgrow that item, right?
So fast.
That's a whole nother conversation. Yeah, no, absolutely true. I mean, I've learned so much about re-commerce just speaking with you, and I thought I didn't really think about the Goodwill and the Salvation Army and general thrift stores, but that is the original re-commerce right there. And what I've heard you say in talking about Yertle is that it just modernized it and brought it to the digital platform.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's pretty awesome.
Make it more accessible. Yeah, we're excited about what's happening.
Yeah, no, that's great, and it's also partnering and your partnerships with leading brands in the sustainability space that is also very exciting to hear as well. So if our listeners wanted to reach out to you and learn more about Yertle or had a follow-up question, how would you like them to reach you?
Sure. You can learn a lot more about Yertle at yertlerecommerce.com. And from there, we have an email, business@yertle.com, if anybody's interested in learning more. We will be in touch.
Great. I will definitely make sure to include that in our show notes for our listeners who missed it. And my last question to you before we wrap up is, if you had a magic wand and you could make something, you know, or fix something through your work and your experience in the fashion industry and what you've seen so far, What would that be and why?
Yeah, I've been inspired by the slow food movement and this return to eating in season and enjoying your food and eating more slowly and the kind of love and care that comes with cooking and how that not just impacts the environment but really the way we our relationship with food. I want to create that same kind of movement. In relationship with our stuff, that we take better care of it, and we, you know, are more precise in when we buy it and what we buy, with a lot more consciousness and a lot more care, and that when we're done with things, you know, we truly move them towards a new home. So it really comes to have kind of a lot more of a conscious consumerist movement.
Wow. I am so glad I asked you that question because that answer was so inspiring. You know, if we all took what you said to heart and practiced that, and I know sometimes it's difficult for a number of reasons, being in the convenience society that we are in, instant gratification. But yeah, I definitely am encouraged by the development and I'm so inspired to hear you say that that would be something you work towards It's really been my pleasure to have you on the show today, Alden, and your wealth of knowledge in the fashion industry and the re-commerce space is absolutely incredible. So thank you for sharing your time with us.
Thank you.
Well, that's our show for today. And again, I'd like to thank our leading lady, Alden Miles from Yertle Re-commerce. And a special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the U.S. and international. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show on Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. In the meantime, remember that when your business is doing good, it's good for your people, your planet, and your profit. So keep doing good, everybody, and have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.